Good morning. We're so thankful that God has made it clear for us. Let me just make sure we're on. Yes, good. God has made it so that we can be together this morning. And I want you to think about a couple of things this morning as you go through with me the accounts in the book of Daniel. One account absolutely stands out, and that is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll allude to that some this morning. But we'll not only focus on that, but we'll focus on this time period with God in the person of the people of ancient Israel, Old Testament Israel. And we're going to try to relate those accounts and then bring that back up to 2025. Amen. How can I relate living on borrowed time? How can I relate living on borrowed time? What if you could make one decision today and for the next 3 decades or 4 decades, your life would be perfectly set? You don't have to worry about retirement. Amen. You don't have to worry about the church. You don't have to worry about any responsibility. Everything is set. Now, what if you can make the same decision and everything fall and everything you do fail? Thinking about the time that we have in life, Paul told the church at Colossae that redeem the time because the days are evil. We are to redeem the time in two ways. One, redeeming the time in that we are buying back our opportunity that we have squandered. We did not handle it well before we became Christians and became followers of God. Amen. When I was following after self, I promise you, I did not think about God first. But now, as a godly person, God always comes first. I realize the time that I have is borrowed time because today is the only thing I have. Tomorrow is not promised. And I don't know how much time, so I'm going to use this because I realize it's borrowed. It is not permanent. Thinking about the Old Testament, let's just do a little bit of background first. We remember that ancient Israel, because of their disobedience, the things that they did, had suffered many tragedies. They had suffered great defeats in the northern kingdom, in the northern part of the area that the northern kingdom dwelled in the city of Dan. They had been openly disobedient in rebellion to God. And even those in the southern kingdom eventually, over time, turned away from God and they followed after idols. And over time, those enemies, Assyria in the north and then Babylon in the south, destroyed everything that God had given them. Everything that God had allowed them to be stewards of. They destroyed the temple. They took away, by default, the priesthood. And then finally, they kidnapped and took away the people themselves. And they took them to this land far from the land of their birth, far from all of their traditions and their customs, and even took their language, such that we remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we don't remember their Hebrew names. Those are the Chaldeans. We don't remember Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. Those were their names from Hebrew. And so as the Bible goes through the account, as you follow with me from our scripture reading in Daniel chapter 1, I want you to think about several things here that come to mind. In our relationship to God, in thinking about this idea of borrowed time, God needs for us to realize that tomorrow is not promised. I must realize I may never see another Sunday. Amen? And what I mean by that is I don't want you to live negatively. Many of you are here with family and friends. I'm here with family because you are my family. Amen? And I love you, and I know that you love me. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we rejoice when the Lord's body comes together on the first day of the week. This fellowship we have, this renewing of our relationship that we have, the encouragement that comes through this time. But we realize this is only temporary. Our hope, our prayer earnestly is that all of us on the day when Jesus comes again will be looked down upon and he can say unto us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. But that is not guaranteed. Only those that God has redeemed, only those that God has judged as taking care of the time. How am I spending my lifetime? Well, I must decide what my time is all about. It must be about not pride, but about selflessness. And that's one of the first things that we see with Daniel, is that he already had this insight. He had this part of him that he knew, no matter what the circumstances, they were temporary. As we read about this time that they have been kidnapped and taken to this strange land, Daniel still realizes who's in control, even though he's in different circumstances. In verse 1, he says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, the house of God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes. So that's a lot covered in a very short section of scripture. That's basically wiping out a whole nation. And not just wiping out, but I want you to see how the offense this was to God, in that these items that were in the temple that were exclusively for worship to him were removed and treated like trash. Now, maybe you know where I'm going with this. If we're living on borrowed time and we're not living a godly life, how do I treat this treasure, this vessel? My body belongs to God. I'm going to go ahead and introduce it to you right now. We're going to get to it a little bit more, but go ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love this idea about stewardship. When we read about it in the New Testament, we read often about how the men and women of God were faithful stewards of the things that God had given. And I don't know any more wonderful blessing in this life than to realize I must be a faithful steward of this vessel, this body, the physical. And oftentimes we think of our lives in these kind of terms, right? Maybe you remember when you were in kindergarten, maybe fifth grade, maybe high school and college, and maybe after college, maybe you went to the military, maybe you remember your marriage or your firstborn child, all these events that we measure this time that has been borrowed. But the reality is God knew every second of our lives. Amen? Yeah. He knew what we were going to do, and he knew where we were going. And God has a plan for our lives, and that plan must come to fruition in two ways. One, God wants us to spend the time of our lives invested in spiritual things. Amen? I don't want to waste this life. I don't want to allow the things of this life to be taken such that I no longer have the relationship with God that he wants me to have, because I have given myself over to what Satan wants. How do I do that? I don't do that in an evil way. You know, rarely do you find someone, as long as I've been preaching, that I've found someone that really hates God, or really just does not have any interest in something spiritual. They may disagree with me in what I preach. They may not be interested at the moment in learning the Bible, but rarely is someone just hateful toward God. But when we think about how we use our bodies, mind, soul, and spirit, we must think of it in that context. I am in control of this body. It belongs to God, and so I only have it for a little while. Let me read some from above in chapter 6 first. We're in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against his neighbor, go to law before the righteous, or before the unrighteous, and not before the saints? Or know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge, or we shall judge angels? And how much more the things that pertain to this life? Our mind and body are connected. He already introduces that idea. Don't just look at the wisdom of this world and think they've got it all figured out because they went to college, because they have a job, because they have a retirement, because they have a nice home or a nice car or a big family. None of those things, he says, are lasting. Anybody can do just about anything in this life, but what God calls us to is something much greater. I can live down here on the world's level, or I can live up here where God wants me to be at a higher plane. And what he's saying there is, don't you understand that brothers and sisters in Christ already start up here? And so why would you drop down here and just go to anybody based on what you think they may know or they may do? Well, Paul understood something because he was guided by the words of the Bible, the Holy Spirit in particular. And he goes on to expand this more in verse 12. Let's go there. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now we're getting to how this relates back to Daniel. Daniel had everything taken from him except his history. He remembered who his ancestors were. He remembered the history of who he was. And no matter that they took him from the place, everything he owned, everything he identified with, he still knew in here who he belonged to. I'm telling you today that our world wants to strip everything that we have. Whether it is our government, whether it is our jobs, whether it is our social media, whatever it is, they want something. And if I don't make sure that God is first in here, they're going to take that too. Yes, yes, yes. What I want you to understand is God says it's impossible for them to take it if you give it over to me. If I understand I'm living on borrowed time, I know God is in control. And so I'm just giving back to him what belongs to him in the first place. And that's the whole point. God gives me control for a little while. That's what Paul is saying. You have freedom. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are efficient. Not all things are good. You wouldn't let your child eat a loaf of bread after loaf of bread after loaf of bread. You'd say, that's not a balanced meal. It's food. They may not be hungry, but over time, they're going to be lacking, missing something. It's not good for them to eat Snickers for dinner every night. It's not good for husbands to take little Debbie's to lunch every day. You're not going to make it through a work day. I got something in my lunchbox, but it ain't good. Why do we have this practical understanding of life in these simplistic things and not really recognize the spiritual impact of how this world affects my soul and my intellect? That's really what he's trying to get to. I want to be the kind of man of God that Daniel was, that you could take everything from me and I still know who I belong to. I still know whose I am. I'm God's. And instead of the circumstances changing me, I am going to change my circumstances. Now let's keep reading. Thinking about being on borrowed time, he says, verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them the members of a prostitute or someone given over to sexual immorality? God forbid. Or know ye not that ye that are joined with a prostitute is one body for her? Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about something very specific here. He's talking about sexual immorality, and he's talking about this. He's answering this not out of the blue. Remember, these were questions submitted to Paul that he's answering by the power of God, the word of the Holy Spirit. And their question is this. Many of these at Corinth had come out of idolatry. They had come out of a worship where anything goes, as long as you say it's for God, right? Any kind of immorality there is. And they thought, well, I'm doing that because you have made me this way. In other words, God made me hungry, so I should just be able to go through Walmart, pick up what I want because I'm hungry. And God gave me that attitude. I mean, he gave me that appetite, so I should just fulfill it. Even taking that from the extreme, walking through Walmart, just eating fruit because you're hungry. Now he says, think about this from a wise standpoint. You can't disconnect the hunger of the body with what I'm thinking about. There's a reason why I don't go and do that kind of thing because I'm thinking about this from the standpoint of my actions have consequences. Living on borrowed time means what I do and what I think are going to impact tomorrow. I know tomorrow's not promised, but if tomorrow comes, I want to be prepared and ready, amen? I want tomorrow to be better than today because I've leaned more on God. I've leaned into the wisdom and the insight of God. He says, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ. In this context, he's saying not just the physical, but the mental and the spiritual. You cannot separate the two. As much as our world would say, hey, as long as I'm happy, as long as it's between two consenting adults, as long as nobody complains about it, it's none of my business. It is yours. What this says is I have a responsibility to God because what is borrowed is this. I borrowed this. God gave it to me for a while, and he says, now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to trash it as they did those wonderful vessels in the temple? Or are you going to be responsible? Or are you going to honor me with it? He goes on. He says in verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee from fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. It's a sin that you're using your own body to do. And so he's saying that this is a connection. You can't just satisfy your appetites and say, God, you gave me the appetite, so that's all I'm doing. No, you must realize that your body belongs to me. I'm in control. Now, here's the question. Am I going to give control of this body, mind, soul, and spirit to God, or am I going to take it back for self? Now let's go back to Daniel for just a minute. They had every reason, friends, to turn away from God. They had had everything taken away. Here they are in this foreign land. Their language is stripped. Their name is stripped from them. And somehow they are going to find a way to now follow after God and not follow after these other things, not let the things of the Lord affect them. Why? Because they realize God is still in control. Even though they're not in the physical place of worship, which in the Old Testament times they needed, now they're also connected to him spiritually. Let's keep reading toward the end of Daniel chapter 1. First of all, they tested their resolve. Their resolve. Are you really committed to this if we take everything away? Did we hear about that somewhere else in the Old Testament? About a man named Job? And about the devil and God having this conversation? And God saying, have you noticed my servant Job? Everything he does is obedient. And the devil saying, you know what? He only does that. He only does that. Because you gave him all this stuff. If you take it all away, he will deny you. I submit the question to you. If God allowed for it, if it just happened, we know that evil happens even to the good and the just. If everything you had is taken away, where's your focus going to be? What are you now going to put first? Would you turn your back on God or would you draw closer to him? Think about that as we keep reading. It says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head. Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Excuse me. Verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat, water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. and thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he says, you can put me to the test. We'll choose what God told us to eat. You choose to give or measure us according to those who eat what you told them to eat. And of course, the circumstances says, as the story goes, the account goes, their visage, their body, their look, their strength, everything was better than those who ate the things that were the delicacies from the king. Brethren, sometimes we can be so fascinated with what everyone else has. And it seems like what everyone else has is working and it's helpful. And we're looking for those 10 things, right, that lead to success. And we think, if I just do those 10 things, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to get the wife I want. I'm going to get the husband I want. I'm going to get the job I want. I'm going to get into this college. Whatever it is, we try to find the cheat code. Amen. That's what it is. We're trying to figure out, how can I make it happen, instead of trusting in God to allow it to happen according to his will, because I'm living on borrowed time. Everything I have belongs to him. So however he wants to use my life, that's what Daniel says. He will. But I'm going to prove it. Not that I'm proving myself. Note that. Daniel's statement was not to prove how strong he was. It was to prove God's power. That's my point about saying we're living on borrowed time. It's not to prove that God has made our life so hard. Don't misunderstand when Paul told Timothy, all that seek to live godly will suffer persecution. We do, but we don't suffer the way that those who don't follow God suffer. Amen. If you don't believe me, young people, just keep looking. All the people that you look around in high school that seem like they got it all together, just wait a little while. Just wait a little while. Wait 5 years. Wait till that first anniversary, that first reunion, 10 years, and you will see the circumstances of those who have chosen to live positively with maturity, I dare say godly, and those who have not. You can't cheat life. There is no way. There's no way to figure out my life is going to go automatically this way because of the way that I choose, and especially if it's opposite of the direction of godliness, it's going to fall. I'm going to suffer. Let's keep going. What happens when they are found faithful? Of course, Daniel is. He continues to follow after God's will, even though they are still in captivity. He does not know, at least the Bible doesn't tell us, how long or how long they knew they would be in captivity. Well, it goes on that God continues to use Daniel. He is able to interpret the dream of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, when they're put to the test, even more so, even the point of giving their lives, being cast into the fiery furnace. They are willing to go in. And I love the fact that as they were following after God, they did not know. No, they didn't know how long they would be in captivity. They did not even know if they were going to die when Nebuchadnezzar commanded for them to be essentially exterminated, thrown into the fire. They just said, we're not going to bow down to you. We're going to keep God first no matter what happens, because we have begun to understand it's God who gave us this life, not you. See where we're going full circle? See how the world wants to take over my life? And I can willingly give in and let them if I follow after the things of this world. Here's the problem with that. Let's go ahead and be moving over to chapter 5 is where I'm going. Chapter 5, verse 1 is where we'll start again with Daniel. Here's the problem with that. You can look around your coworkers, your friends, your classmates, people you've grown up with, and some people, it just seems like they have the key. You look at their lives, and they're doing good. They marry well, seemingly. They're not divorced. They have a great relationship, right? Quote, unquote, marriage goals. Their kids on the honor roll. It just seems like everything they do turns out good. But the reality is this, friends, we cannot see behind closed doors. But God does. God does. And ultimately, what Daniel is understanding as a servant of God is this: God is in control, and I must control the things that I can. Daniel could not control being kidnapped. He could not control being thrown into the lion's den, or that the three Hebrew young men were. He could not control them lying on him later as he has to pray to God and thrown in the lion's den himself. Daniel understood, I must control the things that I can. I cannot let my emotions nor what I think about the situation that I'm in control how I respond. I am being a good steward of this life when I always turn to God no matter the circumstances. All right, let's look at chapter 5 quickly. Verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he was tasting the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels which were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass and iron and wood and stone. And in the same hour came forth four fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints and his innermost parts were loosed, and his knees smote against one another. The king cried aloud, "Bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers." And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. 10. Now the king, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came unto the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, the father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? And I was even heard of thee. I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the king. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. And thou, king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages, and trembled, and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would not put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was of the wild donkeys, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. I appreciate your patience with that long reading. Where are we going with this? Where we're going is this. God understands the relationship between the world we live in and our world personally. What is God trying to do in each of these occurrences in the life of Daniel, which is his Chaldean name, Belteshazzar? He is trying to show the world around him, he is in control. God is in control. Brothers, friends, brothers and sisters, there's a reason you are where you are. Your job, your family, your area of influence, you are there for a reason. Your life is not your own. And what also goes with that by extension is you don't control your life. All of these kings who could say who lives and who dies, who could choose what they wanted while their life, they thought they were in control. That's what they missed. They missed the fact that Daniel says, I don't want your wealth. I don't want your success. I don't want anything that this world offers. I will do this, but only to honor and uplift God. Can I say that? Can you say that? That every decision in your life you make because you want to honor God with it? Because you want to give God the glory? Or do I want it or use it for selfish reasons? If God has given me life, and he has, if he's given me breath, and the very bread that I eat, the clothes on my back, the shelter of my life, do I really use it to honor him, or do I use it for selfish reasons? The sadness about this account is that not only his grandfather, at least from the history of the kings, Nebuchadnezzar, and now evil Merodach is what most scholars believe this king is, they all fail. And they fail. Most scholars believe that it's possible Nebuchadnezzar repented and turned to follow God, but he suffered. And here the same thing, that this generation later is going to suffer the same thing, such that he walks around like a person that is out of his mind. And later in the chapter, it tells us, the Bible says, that the interpretation of the dream says, you have been weighed in the balance and find wanting. Read through this chapter and also through chapter 6. See how God impacted those in the Old Testament. But I want you to understand and know this. God does determine the moral fitness of empires and nations. He does weigh administrations and cultures in his moral and spiritual balances. Friends, brethren, this borrowed time, it will be called into account. There is a bill that we're going to have to pay that comes due. And we are going to pay that with either our unrighteousness or our righteousness. God is going to call me on the carpet. He is going to call me on the day of judgment and ask me, what did you do with the life I gave you? Did you use it to my glory or did you waste it? The rise and decline of cultures and nations depends on the moral fitness, and God can bring nations down. If he can bring nations down, what am I? What am I? James 4 says, my life is like a mist. The steam that comes off a pot is there and then it's gone. My life is nothing in the span of time, but it's everything with God. Can you be like Daniel today in 2025? All of these people have gone on to their reward. This is an ancient reading, thousands of years ago. It's true. But the principle is true today. Have you given and will you give your life over to God such that no matter what the circumstances you live in, you can say, I'm going to put God first. He's in control of my life. I am going to live in such a way that I remember my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so everything I say, everything I do, I'm going to bring glory and honor to God with it. Friends, it is borrowed time. I don't know why you're here this morning, but God has allowed you to be here. Amen. You could be anywhere else, but you chose to be here. Take advantage of this moment. Maybe there's something between you and God. Nobody else knows about it but God and you. You're here this morning to make that right. Don't leave here carrying that burden. Don't leave here thinking, well, I'll get around to it. Don't leave here thinking, well, as soon as things get better in my life, then I'll fix it. Change it right now. You might be thinking, you know what? I've already changed it, and it didn't work the last time. What makes you think it's going to work today? You don't know. You don't know that the decision you make now will change the rest of your life. Trust in God and not in self. Repent right where you are. Pray to God. He will forgive you. He will accept you. And he will bless you. This we do know. God blesses those that are righteous and obedient to his will. Amen? That cannot change, because it is impossible for God to lie. That is a promise that he has made. Won't you think earnestly about that? Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you just need prayer. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you as we stand, as we sing.